Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. If you are a horror film fan, you immediately recognize that music. The incredible score of Horror of Dracula. And Horror of Dracula is a very important movie, a seminal movie in my life. The star of that movie, one of the stars of the movie, is the great Peter Cushing, who was my childhood hero. As a fan of horror movies from a very, very, very early age, I was exposed to Peter Cushing movies sort of repeatedly, and in the early 70s was lucky enough to have seen a bunch of them in the theater. Peter Cushing was a tremendous actor who had great range, and he was my hero when I was growing up. I loved Peter Cushing, and there is an association called the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society. It's actually been around this year. It celebrates its 60th year. And if you love Peter Cushing, you should definitely follow the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society and be a part of it. PeterCushing.org/UK. And they're also on Facebook and other social media outlets. And I love what they do. And celebrating its their 60th year, we wanted to have Marcus Brooks on, who is the manager of the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society. And welcome to the show, Marcus. How are you?
How you doing, Nick? You okay?
I am. Good. It was great to have you. Great to have you back on.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you.
Yes. And let's first of all talk about the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, and then we'll talk about the man himself. It's got a very interesting history. It's 60 years old this year.
The Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, yes, is 60 years old. Started in 1956 by a lovely old lady called Gladys Fletcher in a little town in the UK called Ipswich. Yeah, 60 years.
Isn't that crazy? And it started now. Who was Gladys, and what was her motivation to start this fan club or appreciation society for Peter Cushing?
Okay, Gladys was a lady that lived in this little town called Ipswich. She was a fan of Peter Cushing. She was a young lady back then, a single lady. And I guess movies, you know, some kind of matinee idols, all that kind of thing. She was very much into his movies because he wasn't really making horror movies when she first was interested in him. He was a BBC actor, did a lot of TV plays and different types of movies. And she wrote to him, to his secretary, and he invited her to come to Bray Studios, which she did when he was making, I think it was The Gorgon. That would have been 1965. 1956, it was before the Bray Studios. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she went along and met him, and she said, big fan, et cetera, all the rest of it. And he said, well, why don't you, I don't have a fan club. How would you like to manage it for me? And she was completely bowled over and said, yeah, I could do that for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what she did. So she kick-started the fan club, as it was then, and met him several times and ran his fan club until 1979, which is when I took it over.
You took it over in 1979?
I did, yeah, yeah.
Wow, so you've been doing it a long time. That's fantastic.
A long time. I had a break in the middle of it to kind of have a life.
Right. You know? Right,
have children, family, university, career, all that kind of stuff.
And when Gladys started the Appreciation Society, what did it consist of? If you joined the Appreciation Society, what did you get?
Oh, back in those days, it cost a UK pound to join. You had four journals a year, a membership card, which I still have, a little badge. They didn't have conventions or anything like that back then, and you certainly didn't pay for autographs, you know.
Right.
But it was and of course it was a postal thing, so you had to wait to get your newsletter in the post, and everything was done by correspondence, by letter, and that was it, really. But it thrived, and it had like 3,000 members at one point, and it was the very first. It was the very first Peter Cushing fan club.
Oh, that's great. Now, when did you become a member, Marcus?
I didn't become a member until 1978, which is just when it was coming to an end. And I was greeted with the horrific news that Peter was actually closing his fan clubs because his career was winding down. He wasn't doing so much work. And for some strange reason, turned around and said, I don't think people will be really interested in what I'm doing anymore because I'm getting old. So the other clubs closed down, but I requested to Peter's secretary, Joyce Broughton, whether it would be possible that I could, in fact, carry on. And she said, yes, you could do that, but you must understand that there's not very much. It'll be fine. And here we are, 2016, and we're still growing, hitting 23,000 followers today. When it passed over the mark on the Facebook fan page.
I am one of them, Marcus.
Thank you very much.
As you know, I happen to adore Peter Cushing, and I just want to say that what you guys do on the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, if people want to join on the Facebook page, they can. I can't tell you the number of, Marcus, of gifts that I put on my Facebook page that I take from the Appreciation Society that you guys post. And you guys went nuts last week on his birthday.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That was great. It's always a very, very busy time because, as you know, Nick, you've got Peter Cushing on the 26th of
right.
May.
Right, yep.
You've got Peter Cushing and Vincent Price on the 27th of May. I mean, what's the likelihood of that?
It's just those
three. Very busy time, so we celebrate all three birthdays.
Absolutely. Those three legends. Born on the 26th and 27th, it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, what's the chances of that happening? But there's a guy who, I mean, since we last spoke, what was it, about 2 years ago, everything has really taken off. And I've got several people to know help me, sort of like name-checking Jamie Somerville and some of like Vining and Donald Fernie and Joshua Kennedy, who makes the most incredible horror films in New York, Dracula AD 2015.
Yeah.
Really great people, very, very helpful, and I couldn't do this without their help.
And when you took over in 1979, what did you do to try to keep it fresh? Obviously, Peter's involvement was minimum because he wasn't really doing much work. So what did you do to keep it going, and how has it grown and changed over the years?
Okay, well, when Gladys was managing it, it was a postal thing. We were very lucky. 1979 is when video broke, you know, home domestic video, VHS, PAL video over here. So the first thing we did was that we revamped the newsletters and turned them into journals, and we did them six or seven times a year. We printed them up and made them thicker, put photographs in them, which hadn't been done up until then. And the other thing was, because I was a younger guy, I was quite cheeky and pushy, as you can tell, I actually went out and rang the people that, who had worked with Peter, like Vincent Price and Ingrid Pitt and Christopher Lee, all these other actors, and said, literally, hey, I run Peter Cushing's Appreciation Society. Would you spare me half an hour just to have a bit of a chat? So, and lo and behold, they did. Only too happy to do so. So we got the interviews, which no one else was able to get at that time, in the UK anyway. And meeting Vincent Price and Ingrid and Chris was wonderful. But the other thing that we did, that we also did more or less what you're doing now. We did on a cassette tape. We did a thing called an audio magazine, which was a tape cassette where we recorded a kind of a radio show. And we gave those away. People just had to send in the postage, and we gave them the cassette. And it was an hour-long kind of radio show on tape all about Peter Cushing, which had these interviews on them, you know, because we took along a tape recorder to record the interview. So that was the first major step. And then we made a video movie. We made a video program called Podcast the Movie because we interviewed Milton Subotsky on video, which was great, which is a huge step forward. And then people just flooded in, you know. We just got the things in the film journals, Film Review, and Films Illustrated, and the membership fee for them was just £2. Since then, of course, we've had the internet, and that's been a huge help. I mean, now we use five or six times the amount of photographs and editorial that we would have used we use it now in one day that would have, you know, we would have used in a week back then. Mm. So it does eat up material, and people are very greedy.
I bet.
Yeah. They can't get enough, so we're forever looking for rare photographs, rare images, new facts, and to put the whole point is to get this stuff out there and share it. There's so much now that's hanging on the dollar, on the pound. You pay this to get this. What I get, I share, I put it out there so everyone can have it. We watermark it, not because we own it, we watermark it so people know where we are. Yeah?
Yeah.
People know how to get hold of us. So
absolutely right. And I'm always, I can't tell you how thrilled I am when I see new stuff, Marcus. It just it makes my day. Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, petercushing.org/UK. And you can find them on Facebook as well. Now, tell me about the daily schedule. You have your Monster Monday, your Too Cool Tuesday, your Throwback Thursday, Frankenstein Friday, Onset Saturday, and Sherlock Sunday. When did you come up with those things?
Well, we found out that we needed some kind of schedule where people knew what we were doing and what to expect. You know, if people come there and they know what's happening on a particular day, you've got more chance of kind of gathering people up. So the great thing about Peter is that because he made movies, two Doctor Who movies, Sherlock Holmes, Van Helsing, you know, you've got all those themes running. I thought, well, what if we actually kind of make days for those? So say, like I've just been putting together all the stuff that we need ready for Sherlock Sunday. There's a new release of Sherlock Holmes Hammer movie called, you would know this, Nick, The Hound of the Baskervilles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Beautiful print, pristine print on Blu-ray, lots of extras on it. So we're about to put a competition together ready for that, and that will happen on Sunday. When we do our Frankenstein Friday, which of course is today, that's themed with Frankenstein photographs, facts about Frankenstein movies, Hammer movies. So the thing kind of drives itself, and we very much rely on people sending us personal messages or requests for photographs or anything that they wish to know about the movies, and we put all that up on the page. So the themes certainly help us. And you find there's people out there who are fans of Sherlock Holmes or they're fans of Doctor Who. As you probably know, there's a bit of a contentious issue with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
He isn't Doctor Who, he's Doctor Who.
Right.
Gets confusing.
Yeah, yes, it does. Well, I love the themes. I think it's great. Marcus, hold on, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll talk more with Marcus Brooks, who is the manager of the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society. And if you don't know who Peter Cushing is, go to petercushing.org/UK and just look at the insane amount of great stuff that he did. And I'm sure a ton of you remember him. Everybody remembers him from Star Wars, as Grand Moff Tarkin. But he was just an amazing actor and did so many great things. And we're going to talk more about Peter Cushing and the Appreciation Society. Join up now. Ah, yes. The familiar theme from Star Wars. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Fly Jams Friday coming up on all of our regular features. As far as I'm concerned, the star of Star Wars was Peter Cushing. He was the lead, as far as I was concerned. We're talking about Peter Cushing, one of my favorite actors of all time, my childhood idol, and someone that I just loved. He did a ton of horror movies, and that's what he's best known for. And that's how I knew him. That's how I grew up knowing who Peter Cushing was. And Marcus Brooks joins us. He's the manager of the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, which is celebrating its 60th year of existence. And really, if you're a Peter Cushing fan, you have to be a part of this. Check out petercushing.org/UK, and they're also on Facebook. Look them up on Facebook. It's a great thing. Marcus, welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
We do have a regular caller here, Marcus, who is our resident Sherlock Holmes expert.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he would like to join us to say hello. It's Bob Madea. Hi, Bob.
Hi. What a great honor to speak with you, someone who shows all this respect to what I believe is one of the greatest actors ever to play Sherlock Holmes.
So this is a
privilege for me.
So did you want to mention anything in particular about Peter Cushing?
I did. I wanted to mention a movie that's rarely seen. In fact, I don't think it's ever seen on television, at least not here in the States, where he plays Holmes, called The Masks of Death. I think it was his last performance as Holmes, and at least in film. And also I wanted to mention my favorite Dracula movie with Peter Cushing, The Brides of Dracula.
Great.
I love the horror of Dracula, but I love that ending to The Brides of Dracula.
Yeah, it is great. And now, Marcus, is that the Sherlock movie that he mentioned, is that available in the UK?
No, it isn't. It's not available, full stop. You do sometimes see bootleg copies of it, but it was a movie that it was a joint production between a company called Tyburn Film Productions, which was owned by Kevin Francis, whose father was Freddie Francis, the well-known photographer who did French Lieutenant's Woman, among other things. But they set up a company called Tyburn, and they made three or four movies, three of them with Peter, and one of them was The Masks of Death, a Sherlock Holmes story, original Sherlock Holmes story written by Anthony Hines, Hammer guy.
Yeah.
And it was broadcast, I think, twice on UK TV. it's had a couple of screenings over the years, but it's disappeared now, and you just can't get hold of it. And it's such a shame because it's such a well-made movie. As Bob would know, it's Sherlock Holmes retired, yeah, and mm-hmm. he comes back to fight this case during the Second World War. And it's a great movie. It's really, really good, very good.
And it was one of the last things he did, correct, Marcus?
That's right, yes, because his career was winding down. There was a plan to make another one called The Abbot's Cry with Tyburn Films, but Peter unfortunately thought that his health just wasn't up to it. Yeah. So unfortunately they had to pull that one. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the call.
No problem. Thank
okay,
you.
Take care. Bob's our
good,
resident.
Well, thank you.
He's our resident Sherlock Holmes expert. He's great. I want to mention a few things. He mentioned The Brides of Dracula, which is contains one of my favorite scenes of him as Van Helsing. It's after he's bitten.
Yep.
And it's one of the legendary scenes where he puts the poker into the fire and then, you know, solderizes the wound. I just remember freaking out when I was a kid.
It's kind of subtle stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the thing about the reason why the Hammer films and Peter Cushing in particular and Christopher Lee and just the Hammer films in general really made an impact on me, Marcus, was because when I was a little kid, I became obsessed with the Universal films.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I watched them all the time. I would stay up late and watch a show called Creature Features here in Chicago. And it was on Saturday nights late, and I would watch all the black and white classic Universal horror movies. And I vividly remember the first Hammer movie that I ever saw was, well, it's just called Dracula in the UK, but Horror of Dracula here. Uh-huh. And I had seen all the Dracula movies, the Universal Dracula films. But when I saw that movie, everything changed. Like the way that Hammer took on those classic characters was so different and so much bolder and bigger and brassier and full of color, and there was blood and boobs, and it was awesome. Did that have an impact on you too, Marcus?
Oh yeah, for the same reasons. Yeah, I did the same. I kind of grew up on the Universal, the Chaneys, Lugosi's, and Karloff. The Hammer films kind of, first of all, they brought in the color, the Eastman color. Bernard Robinson, who designed their sets, in purposely sort of everything was very kind of gaudy and red and rich. They looked fantastic and still do look fantastic on Blu-ray. They literally jump off the screen. Brides of Dracula, a terrific film, because until almost at the end, they really didn't know what they were going to do, how they were going to kill this character, as you know, Baron Meister, played by David Peel, mm-hmm. because they couldn't get Christopher Lee to play the role. He just wouldn't come back. So it's a Dracula film without Dracula.
Without Dracula. That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, all of the horror films that I grew up watching, The House That Dripped Blood, Tales from the Crypt. Tales from the Crypt remains, I think, my favorite Peter Cushing performance. It makes me so sad, and it's such a great performance. And it came at a time. It must have been a very hard film for him to make, Marcus, because he lost his beloved wife right before he made that film.
That's right. Yeah, it's a really, really contentious. Well, really, really sensitive issue. I was very lucky to interview Milton Subotsky, the producer of Tales from the Crypt and all the Amicus anthology movies.
Yeah,
He told me at the time that they actually had Peter penciled in for another character to play another role in the movie. They could see that this Arthur Grimsdyke character, this guy who lived at home, who had also lost his wife, so the parallels between Peter's life and the character in the movie were just too close, and he didn't really want to ask Peter to play it. But then when Peter saw this role and said, what about this little old man character, which was actually underwritten, it wasn't a very big role at all. Yeah. And they said, well, there's nothing here, Peter. And he said, well, I'd like to look at that. Perhaps we can expand it. And Milton said he was surprised. He was shocked that he actually wanted to do that. And Peter was well known for kind of not rewriting, but adding extra pieces to scripts to kind of embellished the characters, and he did very much with Tales from the Crypt. A lot of what you're seeing on the screen there was actually improvised and planned between the director, Freddie Francis, and Peter. And it's such a touching performance.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You put a post up there, and people just jump on it. You know?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful performance. It is truly obviously it's not a lead performance. He's one of, you know, many characters in an anthology film. But it's a movie that really, it just really hits me every time I watch it. I love him in that movie. I also would like to mention, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie, and Marcus, if anybody would know, you would. I remember when I was a kid being traumatized the first time I ever saw Peter Cushing die on screen. Because it, I was like, what? You know, because I mean, he was Van Helsing. He doesn't die, and it was a swashbuckler film, and he gets shot with an arrow.
Is that Sword of the Forest?
Does the Hamill one? Does he die in that film?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there are films where Peter dies. I mean, the classic one, of course, being Star Wars.
Yeah, no. I'm saying, Marcus, the first time I ever saw Peter Cushing die was this particular movie, and I was like, oh, no, and I remember being traumatized. I was sitting in front of the TV saying, Peter Cushing died, and my parents had to, like, say, hey, take it easy. It's just a movie, and I was so upset.
I think Sword of Sherwood Forest, I think he actually gets stabbed. I've got to think back now. I mean, Nick, I'm getting older, you know.
I've got to watch myself.
Fans pull me up and say, "Oh no, you got that wrong."
Yeah. Do you find, Marcus, younger people getting interested in Peter Cushing? And that's got to be, if that's the case, that's got to be so rewarding to see kids or younger people appreciating Peter Cushing.
Yeah, very much so, and that's part of the core of the idea of the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, Nick, is to get new fans on board. We're all getting older, you know, some of us are disappearing, sadly, and we need new people on board to appreciate this work and to keep the memory alive. Thank goodness films like Star Wars have injected new blood, shall I say, into the field, and it's sort of we encourage young people to come on board, and it's great. It's great to see youngsters come on and ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised that usually I've had people, youngsters come on who have gone along to a convention and bought an autographed photograph, and how much is this worth, and where can I get more? And it's great. Yeah, it's lovely. It's really rewarding.
That's great, Marcus. Can you hang on for one second?
Sure.
Okay. I want to hang out with Marcus for one more thing here, and I want to keep him on until after the news, because there's a couple more things I want to talk about, and we're talking about Peter Cushing, and I could talk about Peter Cushing. I could do an entire show every week about Peter Cushing. The Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, petercushing.org/UK. You can check him out on Facebook. We'll get to the regular stuff coming up after the news, which is next. Everybody had a 12-gauge and a surfboard too. You see him shooting and surfing. Right. All right. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We got all of our regular Friday features coming up. But we're continuing to talk to Marcus Brooks, who is the manager of the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, celebrating its 60th year of existence, celebrating all things Peter Cushing, one of my favorite actors of all time, my childhood hero, and just an amazing talent. That, by the way, that goofy little song was from a Zucker Brothers comedy called Top Secret. And then Peter Cushing appeared in that film. We welcome Marcus back. Hi, Marcus.
Hi.
That's the scene that he appears in Top Secret is one of the strangest scenes in the, it's a strange movie, but one of the strangest scenes in the film. Would you agree?
It's probably one of the strangest things he ever did. I mean, it's very weird.
and the whole thing was shot in reverse and then played back because, according to the directors, they said that if you speak backwards, you record something and play it backwards, it sounds Swedish. that was their reasoning for doing it that way. Let's go back to Peter Cushing. Now, Marcus, what was your first exposure to Peter Cushing? Was it the Hammer stuff?
No, strangely enough. Gosh, if my daughter Lucy was here now, she'd go, oh, Dad's going to tell that story again. It's going to be on my tombstone. At my 7th birthday, my grandmother was going to buy me a transistor radio. And instead, I wanted a copy of the famous Monsters of Filmland, Fory Ackerman's magazine.
Yes.
And so I had that for my 7th birthday with the radio. And flicking through the pages, that's wonderful images, Hammer films, Universal films, great, terrific. And then for my birthday, my dad took me to the cinema, to the Flicks, to see the first Doctor Who movie. And that was the first film I saw in the cinema and the very first Peter Cushing movie.
Wow. That's great.
That is great.
If you were to recommend for people who want to see Peter Cushing at his best. We've mentioned, you know, Tales from the Crypt, the Grimsdyke character is such a beautiful performance. And we've mentioned, obviously, his role as Van Helsing, especially in, you know, in Horror of Dracula. But what are some of the other standout performances that you think people shouldn't miss?
Oh, yeah, good question. Well, the thing that a lot of people kind of forget is that Peter Cushing had a career on stage and TV and film in Hollywood before he went into the horror genre. And one film that's come to my attention quite recently is a movie called Two Cities, an adaptation of the Dickens story that he made in 1980 with Alice. What's that actress's name that was in the Star Trek movie?
Alice Krieg.
That's the one, yeah. She plays his daughter, and there's a scene in this where Peter's locked up in a dungeon. Very, very, very good, and it's a terrific movie, so I'd recommend that one. The other one is a movie from the 50s called The End of the Affair with Deborah Kerr, and that's a wonderful movie, black and white film, but very well made and such a touching performance. He's got a way of plugging into these very emotive characters and connecting with the audience. And, of course, you have... There's a TV thing that he did in 1954 called 1984, that of George Orwell's story.
Yeah.
Terrific performance again.
Yeah.
Quite different from what you, the Peter Cushing that you see in the Hammer movies and the Amicus movies.
Well, that was the thing that was the thing that I discovered as I grew older. I mean, obviously, I just knew, you know, I knew him from the Hammer films and the horror films from the 70s that he did. But I went back and looked at a lot of the stuff. He was a very versatile and very talented actor.
Sure, yeah. He couldn't dance, though. He couldn't dance for toffee.
Well, that's one of my favorite gifts that you put up the other morning.
Is it really?
Yeah, I shared it, and I just wrote my caption was, "Get down, Peter."
Strutting his boogie stuff.
It was great.
There's a scene in She, isn't it? The Hammer scene.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's in the Casbah dancing, and it just looks so funny.
It's fantastic. So fantastic. Now, Marcus, I understand that you're coming to Peoria.
Yeah. We're the wife and I, Melissa, we're coming over to see the family because that's where my wife is from. Mm. Endured the UK for the last 8 years. But we're going over for a vacation, spending 3 months with the family. It's just like the Waltons, you know, Leo and Sheila. And, it's great. And they're a wonderful family to be part of. I love them very, very much. Can't wait to see them.
Marcus, could I convince you to come in studio with me when you make your trip here?
I'd love to do that, Nick. I really would. It'd be great to meet you and see you.
I would just love that. I would absolutely love that.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, I understand that there's a rumor that Peter Cushing might appear via hologram in the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, I know you. I knew you were going to ask me about this. It's a real funny one because the story broke in a tabloid newspaper over here back in the summer last year. And we had this huge rush of inquiries about Peter Cushing's Star Wars. I thought, what are they talking about? And apparently, Rogue One, the Star Wars movie that's coming out in December, they're using CGI technology that they used in Fast and Furious 7 and Ant-Man with Michael Douglas to replicate Peter Cushing on screen as Grand Moff Tarkin.
So, okay, well, I'm already pre-ordering my tickets. That's it.
Yeah. I'll be there. That's something I've got to see, really.
That's gonna be fantastic. Well, I got to tell you, Marcus, I love what you do, and as a lifelong fan of Peter Cushing, I love that you're bringing Peter Cushing's work and everything to people who might not have seen his work before. He was a real important discovery in my childhood, and has forever made a mark on me. So.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Nick. Thanks.
All right. Well, Marcus, keep in touch, and we'll get all your information. And when you come back here to Illinois, we'll get you in the studio, and we'll do this live. Okay?
That'll be great. It'll be lovely. Looking forward to it, Nick.
Okay, Marcus. Take care.
You take care. Bye bye now.
Bye. There's Marcus Brooks, the manager of the Peter Cushing Appreciation Society, celebrating its 60th year. PeterCushing.org/UK for more information. One of my, you know, the childhood hero that I had, and one of my favorite actors ever. I know it's odd that, I mean, I know, Esmeralda, you must think I'm a nut. This is very sort of older gentleman, Englishman, was my hero.
No, it's fine.
It's just so weird. You know, when I was a kid, there were like baseball players and everybody was, oh, man, I want to be this guy and I want to be an astronaut. And I was like, yeah, I want to be Van Helsing. I want to be Peter Cushing. Oh, man. And this Peter Cushing Appreciation Society is phenomenal. It really is. And anyway, well, that was fun. I had fun.